Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It's I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by the unlicensed taxi driver, who has nothing to say, apparently.
I have nothing to say. No. I'm just taken aback by lack of quality in our last podcast. And
well, I was fine.
Apparently, we're not hopeful of this one.
No, we're not. And with that, folks, I'm sure you just tuned off. But still, nevertheless, tonight, we are going to be in Paso Robles. Not literally. But metaphysically.
Not Turley's Paso Robles.
No, no, this is the other part, the flatter part. This is J. Lore, their Cabernet. Their Seven Oaks Cabernet. And in previous episodes, I think I've said negative things about this wine. But the tasting panel has said positive things and gave it a 91. Which is a lot of points to be given to a wine. J. Lore, I like certain J. Lores. The Hilltop. The Hilltop Cabernet, which is $30, which is twice this price, is a wonderful wine. And they're using select vineyards for that. The thing about Paso Robles, it's kind of an odd AVA in the fact that there are parts of it that are just righteous trash. Flat, hot, shitty parts. And there are other parts that are hilly, that have excellent soils, that are gorgeous. So you can have shitty wine, and you can have great wine in the same damn AVA. It's really odd in that regard. Some other illustrious alumni, as it were, of Paso Robles. Justin, which is good. Josh is another one, too.
Oh, stop beating around the bush. Who lives in Paso Robles that we love?
Well, Turley has a tasting room in Paso Robles, but they also have one in the Sierra Foothills. So, yeah. So, we've had some Paso Cab. We've liked some Paso Cab. Will we like this Paso Cab? I don't know. We'll find out. And we'll be right back to find out here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2014, I believe, J. Lore, Seven Oaks, Paso Robles Cabernet. We always read from the back of the label. That's a lot of words, though. No. Okay. It says, grown in Paso Robles, California, where warm climate is ideal for Bordeaux-style varietals.
So is that why they call it the Paso Robles?
I don't know.
Cab Sauvignon? As opposed to Sonoma County? Because they grew it in Paso Robles?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What?
They're pretty witty.
You're being funny.
The comedy.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Why aren't you writing for Saturday Night Live or something like that? I mean, no joke. That is funny than what they say. Okay.
I'm busy.
Busy, yeah. Our Seven Oaks Cabernet is velvety and rich with supple tannin.
Okay.
Ripe flavors of black currant and cherry are enhanced by... I never liked the term enhanced.
Yeah.
By a bouquet of vanilla and spice from 1 year of barrel aging. This wine is excellent, an excellent companion to grilled beef, lasagna, or dark chocolate.
What?
Yes. Lasagna, man.
Grilled beef.
Lasagna.
Or
dark chocolate. Yes. That actually works, maybe. But I don't know.
I don't like the word enhanced.
No, I don't like that either.
Every time I use it, I get the stink eye from the wife, or she just flat out smacks me.
Because she knows just some things just aren't going to happen. So, in the glass, dark crimson color. Dark, looks the part. A little translucent, though, when you look it down at the bottom. You can see the light shine through. And this is about $14.99, I believe, isn't it?
Huh?
Yeah, 14.
Really?
Yeah. 14, 15 bucks. It's not cheap. I mean, it's not expensive, but it's not cheap. But it's mid-teens. It's 13.5%, which is, you know, on the low side, but it's passable.
Yeah.
on the nose is where I think that it's going wrong. I smell sweet cherry, and I smell a little bit of a charred oak, which I never like to smell on the nose. Yeah, I smell that charred oak. A little vanilla in the background, but that charred oak is there. And folks, there is apparently, and I read an article on this. I don't recall where it was from, so I'm sorry that I can't quote you directly.
A medicinal alcohol-y thing, too.
Yeah. But there are apparently two different styles of winemaking right now. There's a different one where they are into this charred oak thing. Predator was one of those. Predator's Zen. And I find it to be...
Well, it goes hand in hand with that crap, bourbon barrels.
Kind of, yeah. It's the same idea. I find it to be absolutely...
You whiskey, but there's charred oak in a whiskey barrel.
I find it to be absolutely disgusting. I mean, undrinkable, the most heinous thing in the world. I don't know if it appeals to people or not, but they're making stuff along those lines for whatever reason that is. So,
are they trying to imbue like an earthiness to the nose and the character
that you
can't otherwise get?
I don't know. I find those things to be so over the top and just so unlikable. They're hard to drink. So let's. We've noticed some negative things there. Let's see what it tastes like.
The vanilla's not unappealing in that nose.
I don't mind vanilla. I just don't...
You know what I'm saying? That's a nice vanilla-y nose. Yeah, there is the
charred
oak.
It's like a little vanilla or banana vanilla custard, too, kind of nose.
There's a little dairy component there.
Yeah.
I'm going in.
Yeah. I'm going to let you drink first. He's lacking expressions. No, I'm going in.
This is like the Josh with bad oak.
It's the oak, isn't it?
It's just bad oak.
Yeah, it's a little...
It's really a little overripe fruit cab.
It is. Where there's just, it's not quite char. Oh, what the hell's on that finish?
That's being offensive to the Josh. This shouldn't be compared to the Josh.
No. Let's start. Although it means that we have to drink some of this.
Two words to describe this wine: train wreck. The charred oak is oppressive.
It is oaky, and the problem. Let me just start off. It is very, very fruity. Very fruit forward. Big fruit. Lots of flavors. Okay? Lots of flavors. The oak is very, very present. Almost permeates it. And it's not a buttery, toasty oak. We like toasty oak. It's a little bit medicinal and a little bit charred. And then it just goes along with this bright, bright, quasi-residual sugar fruit.
Yes.
And
it is that sweet. There's the
finish,
the residual sugar there,
is still going on. And I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be. It's not a good finish at all. It's slightly medicinal. It's slightly chemical. It is from the oak. It's a reverberation from the oak is what it is. What the fuck did they make this for? Why do they do this shit?
Who likes this? Did anybody in your family back in the day, did anybody have a kerosene heater in the house?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
That taste you would get in your mouth?
Yeah.
That kind of chemical taste?
Mm-hmm.
It would be on your palate. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Well, you bring it in, and you try to. When you bring it in, you waffle on it. You can kind of contain and separate off a lot of those off-putting things, and you have really sweet fruit. But then, as soon as you let the air really, you open your mouth and you let it come across, that oak just comes in and is oppressive. And it just is a kind of a stumbling mess in the fact that you have the two things don't work together. You can't have oakiness and big residual sugar sweet.
Yeah.
It has a sweet tea background too, like the sugariness.
Ugh. And you know, the oak is not the worst part of this wine.
No.
It's the flabby Swedish fruit.
Yeah, it's just...
It's too much.
It's gelatinous. I mean, it just wobbles everywhere.
You know what this fruit is? Barefoot.
Is it? I've not had Barefoot. I bet it is.
It's that bad.
Now,
this... The oak hides it. Or if this charred, oaky mess wasn't here... We'd be railing this even more because the fruit would be naked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want... And it's almost like you have two lumps. You have, like... You have one plank just sits here of the big, sweet, kind of gobbly, gelatinous fruit.
Ugh.
And then the oak is this other thing that sits right there, too. And they never really combine. They're almost separate. You can pick them out. They completely separate off. And
I've had better grape-flavored Jello shots that express more proper varietal characteristic than this bottle of Cab does.
Well, you know it's Cab, but the different... What else could it be? It helps to read it on the front of the label.
Kool-Aid.
It doesn't taste like Kool-Aid.
With oak chips?
No.
Kool-Aid with oak chips?
It's far too big-bodied for that. Okay, if Kool-Aid could be full-bodied...
There you go.
Okay. Oh, you mean instead
this
of two scoops,
full-bodied.
You put, well, it's pretty big, medium-bodied. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's a big, it gets near full. It's just, you don't like what it's full of. Are you suggesting that if you took...
you know how Kool-Aid, if you let it sit in your glass,
yeah.
You didn't put ice in it, so it's not watered down. But on a sunny day, it'll kind of evaporate because that water wants to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And then it kind of thickens. That's medium-ish body Kool-Aid.
Or as opposed to two scoops, you use six.
Oh, wow.
By the way, did you know that Kool-Aid was vegan? I saw that the other day. That cheese ain't going to cover that up.
Yeah, my God.
I'm surprised that this... I've had this before, and I didn't like it, but it didn't taste like this. It was kind of lean, and it was... You said 14, 15 bucks, my ass. But... It wasn't this manipulated shit.
Have we had a worse cab at this price point?
Yes, we had 19 Crimes.
Was that a cab? Or that was
a line? That was the cab. That is much worse. But this is flawed in the same vein as that. So. That was just bigger. That was fruitier, of sweeter, and oakier. That's where you let the oak just off the chain, and it didn't even taste like it was oaked. It tasted like oak was just poured in with a bucket.
Yeah, like it was oak extract.
You know this is just over-oaked, sweet, residual sugar stuff, and I agree with you. The oak isn't the bad part. It's the residual sugar, quotient, that is the bad part. Quite frankly, though, if I'm buying something that is sweet like this, I would want to pay $6.99 and not have the oak. Because if you want sweet wine, Swedish wine, off-sweet wine, you don't want to pay 16 bucks for it. That's the dumbassery that exists.
Oh my God, this is bad.
It makes you wish you still had the Rodney Strong, doesn't it?
Jesus.
We didn't really even like the Rodney Strong very much.
I'd rather have the Rodney Strong all day.
Well, at least it tastes like a proper cab.
Ugh.
By the way, this is the same price roughly as Louis Martini. It's the same price. I mean, it's the same price as the Antwoord.
It's they should be embarrassed.
Why? Why do they do this? I know what they make. They make great wine. This is terrible. What? Yes. You know, at the Hilltop, they know that style. Why shouldn't this just be a baby Hilltop? And what the fuck is this getting a 91 from the tasting panel from?
Idiots.
Who the hell's on the damn panel? A bunch of Smurfs?
James Suckling.
Jesus. I don't know. It's just... It's not as bad as a 19 Crimes, but it's a style that I hate. The sweet fruit is too much.
There's two things here, and the oak is not a pleasant oak. I mean, I suppose it wouldn't be a bad oak if it had this huge, big cab with some savoriness, some chocolate, some proper fruit.
You know what? It's almost, you know what it is though? If it just didn't have that residual sugar edge, it would be, it's hot on the finish. The finish is weird. It's not particularly tannic. It still has a lot of things wrong with it, but at least it would be
okay. Passable. Yeah.
It would be.
It's beyond sweet-ish fruit. There's residual sugar.
It's beyond sweetish fruit. Yes, there is a residual sugar.
There's a residual sugar there.
I think that let's see. Yeah, if it didn't have that residual sugar component, it still has some definite issues that are wrong about it.
We need to do an experiment.
What?
That glass that's back there.
What about it?
Mix.
Okay, we'll let you do that. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back.
We're going to do a little experiment here.
Yeah. And I'm excited. Here on the Wine Ball. We're back, folks. So, the unlicensed taxi driver is a bit of a chemist, and that's aside from his methamphetamine production business. What he's done is he's been a very brave man. He's taken 2016 Alamos Malbec, and he's mixed it with J. Lore.
On a previous episode, I noted that why would Alamos put that Malbec out? It just needed something else. It had these characteristics that were just nasty in and of themselves. They wouldn't balance. There was earthy, there was metallic, there was tart fruit, there was sour fruit. And I, the unlicensed, suggested it needed a touch of cab. Now, this is not a fair representation of cab, but nonetheless, I'm going to mix. I used highly technical measuring skills and just poured some of my cab into.
You use the same measuring skills that Jay Laurel used when they were making their wines.
So. It's approximate 15% blend, and I'm going in. It's still all pepper in the nose. The fruit doesn't come through.
You know, you might actually get VD from drinking that. Just saying. At least something will come of it.
It's okay. I still have some penicillin at home
from the last bout.
I listen. I'm not just blowing smoke. Try it. It's better. It's better than they were on their own. Oh, stop. You never made a face like that the entire time we drank the Alamos.
What the fuck, man? It tastes like a fruit roll-up. Oh, Jesus H. Christ, that's terrible. Did you just do that with fuck with me?
It's not that bad.
Oh, my God, it's bizarre.
It's better than that. Put them side by side.
No, I don't want to do that. I'd rather eat a Red Lobster. I'd rather have sushi from Red Lobster than do that.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
That's a new menu item. Sushi on those cheddar garlic rolls.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ, man.
There's nothing wrong with this.
That doesn't taste like wine. I've never experienced that before. It's like a Roscato without the bubbliness. You like that? That'll make you sick.
No, it still doesn't. It still can't hide that sour thing that Malbec's got.
It tastes like, you know, if... don't push it over here. I'm not drinking that shit. It tastes like if, Weight Watchers had a wine.
Oh!
And they sent it along. That's what it would taste like. I say that because there's a Nutrisystem commercial on with, Donny Osmond's sister.
Marie.
That's right. They're suspiciously a little too close to. My sister loves, by the way, Donny Osmond. I've seen him in concert a couple times.
Wait.
Yeah.
Your sister?
Yeah.
Does Shakespearean film know this?
He's gone. He's
Whoa, wait.
He's gone to Donny Osmond. He's a soldier of love. He had a sacred emotion. Some call it puppy love, I think, but yeah.
And they called it puppy love.
Oh, God. That's so terrible.
So.
Oh, man.
I have a family member who I love very much.
Okay. Well, good for
you.
Two
family members, but I was going to describe one of them that I love very much.
Okay.
Who accompanied another family member that I love very much to see not once, not twice, maybe three times. I could be wrong about the third time. Maybe only twice. Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah. You're here. There's nothing to fear. By the way, didn't... true or false?
False.
Did Hank not want to go with you to Celine Dion? You too. In Vegas.
He did...
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that anyone, I can say this, any nationality, creed, sexual orientation, doesn't matter who they are, would look at that and go, okay, it's one of those things where you're like, what? Just doesn't work. He would cry during that probably too. And you have to put your arm around him. I know he was serious.
Until we found out how much it cost.
Well, yeah. Well, if they gave me $10,000, I would think twice. Yeah.
I think I would go see Bette Midler before I go see Celine Dion.
I hate the song The Rose, though. You know she'd sing that.
She's at least funny. Entertaining.
Okay. Yeah, she probably does a little more variety. And she doesn't have a Quebec accent.
Bette Midler's funny.
Yeah, she is. She was good in Get Shorty.
Oh my God, she's awesome in Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Do
you want me to stay? That's actually an underrated movie, by the way.
No, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the only movies ever, and I love Elmore Leonard. It's one of the only movies ever that's actually better than the book.
How did you get in here? I acted really stupid. I said I was you. I acted really stupid, and they believe me. Or something like that. I acted real dumb. Well, Dennis Farina is great.
Oh, my God.
He's great in that, and he's also epically good in Snatch.
Oh, my God.
Sit down and shut up, you big bald fuck. He goes, I don't like leaving my country for anything that doesn't have sandy beaches and with little drinks with umbrellas on it. And he goes, Abby, we've got sandy beaches. So, who the fuck wants to see them? It's the best. If you haven't seen Snatch, folks.
Oh, my
God. I love that thing.
Brad Pitt.
Got some toss on you. He is fantastic.
Look at Kevin. Look at Kevin. My mom's Kevin. But I don't know Kevin.
Partial to Perwick Blue. That is the best.
Back to Get Shorty.
Yes.
The stupid, what was it? What was the van? The stupid van that they kept driving?
Oh, the Oldsmobile Silhouette. I like to sit up high. It's a Cadillac and minivans. It's like, what? I guess I'll take the Cadillac and minivans.
The best part of that is when Travolta, after he throws James Gandolfini down the stairs, the music starts playing and he just struts up those stairs.
I know.
If Delroy Lindo is so pissed off.
Yeah, before I clean up the floor with you. It's kind of like a badass. He just grabs him by the... Throws him down the stairs. You're like, yeah. I think there was some guy out there that said, yeah, I could do that. And he actually tried to do that and got the shit beat out.
Holy crap.
You can only be John Travolta's character in that movie to pull that off, folks. It doesn't exist.
It's awesome.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, good movie, though. Good movie. But what isn't good is this wine. It's not good. It's bad. In fact, bad is not the term we would use. We hate it. I had better hopes for this. I thought it'd at least just be a run of the mill, because Josh is fine. We love Justin. Love it to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
Thought it was wonderful.
You know who else loves the Justin? My cousin loved the Justin.
I bought a couple bottles of the Justin. Love it. This is shit, and it's almost the same damn price as the Justin.
What is it really? I thought it was the same price as the Josh.
Well, it's I think 15? It's $15.99, which ain't that much cheaper.
Justin's
20.
Double deuce, 22.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Still.
Yeah.
It's.
What is wine? What is the wine? Yeah. What is wine.com having at right now? Let's just see.
This is. This wouldn't be
$16.
This wouldn't be good if it was $8. This is just bad. This is barefoot bad.
Oh yeah. It's just, what is the purpose behind it? Who are you trying to please? What is? Who likes it this way? I want to meet them, because this, if you paired this with your lasagna, you would think there's something wrong with your fucking lasagna. You wouldn't want to eat it.
Oh my God.
It would screw up any meal that you could throw at it. And it's just,
I suppose if you ate it with spicy food, it wouldn't be that bad, because you'd just blow your palate away.
Who eats a freaking Cabernet, drinks a Cabernet with spicy food?
It would hide the Cabernet, how bad this wine is.
And you know what? When you were oh God. When you just quaff it, that's when it's the worst.
It's the worst. Because it brings out all that residual sugar.
You either really, really, really work it to delay the inevitable. But if you don't, you just get this sweet fruit with a shot of nasty oak you don't want to taste. And it's not even charred or toasty. It's just blah. It's just hard and sharp. It would taste like how it would feel if you ran into an oak door with your face.
But the oak is not the problem here.
No, it's not.
This same level of oak, although it would probably be a little over the top, if you've got a proper cab behind it, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But
it really would be fine, because the only thing that's charred about the oak is in the nose.
True.
It really.
Right when you're bringing it in, though, you notice that really sweet.
Oh,
raspberry jam. Ugh. It's a raspberry jam right out the. And
there's also like a NutraSweet sweet.
Oh yeah, it's not natural.
The pink sweet, the pink.
Yeah.
You're at the Bob Evans, and there's the yellow ones. There's the blue ones. The pink one, whatever that one is. This tastes like the pink one.
No. Yeah. You know, I think back, and this is an unreleased episode. We had the Tribunal. I don't know who made it. But the Tribunal had this residual sugar, but it came in a poof. You would drink it, it would sit there, and there'd be a poof of sweetness like cotton candy. That was bizarre. This doesn't have bizarro world to it. You just know that it's flawed with residual sugar. And I don't give a shit if they say, well, it's not too much residual sugar. Any bit is too much.
As bad as that Tribunal was? I'd rather have that than this.
I would not. That was terrible. You'd pay less for that, but
not much. It wasn't cheap.
No. That was really bad. This is bad, bad. But this is one of those wines where it's kind of hard to score, too. It really is.
No.
Well, really? I mean, because it does have structure and body and everything like that, it's just all the structure and body and fruit is bad. Structure, body, and fruit. It's the dark side of what wine can be. But they have chosen to go this route. They have chosen. You can choose as to how much residual sugar is going to be in your wine. They chose to have it be like that. They chose to have the oak come in like that. They chose.
All right.
They did all that. So what you're talking about is, stylistically, you don't like their winemaking. And who else has bad winemaking?
Barefoot.
There's another one.
This is at least I find it funny.
Fry Brothers. By the way, their Merlot now was on closeout.
I can't imagine why.
It's a Dry Creek Valley Merlot.
What?
I said, is it? Yes. Yes, because Dry Creek is known for their cooler temperatures to properly grow Merlot. This was something that Fry Brothers would taste and go, yeah.
We got to try that.
We got to buy some land in Paso.
We got to try that.
Yeah. They'd be like, you know,
and we thought we had the bad wine market.
So, Jay Lorne knows better. They do, man. They know better.
How can you, with a straight face, put this price point on it?
You know what? If you did
You think that you're so good that $16 is your crap entry
price. When has ever Seven Oaks J. Lore been considered so good? If they did this in their Cypress line, I would still hate that. But at least they'd leave this to something that's at least passable.
Wait, there's a line below this.
Cypress. J. Lore Cypress. It was so bad that Steve's store dropped it. They might have dropped J. Lore, too. Because they were tied in with J. Lore.
I still say J. Lore's Pinot's.
Haven't had it.
In terms of entry-level Pinot's, it's never done me wrong. It's not great. It's probably just barely good. But this is awful.
I bet their Merlot is an absolute train wreck. I just don't understand. I just don't get... I don't understand why... You obviously, they were perfectly capable of making good wine.
We know that.
They make the Hilltop. That's great wine. That's great wine.
Particularly for the price point. Particularly for the price point. Oh, you get into that mid-20s to 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And we found it in restaurants at that price, which is quite a value. Because post off $19.99, $18.99, sometimes, maybe. Yeah. And we gave less than 30 for it. On a couple occasions.
So, the crowd that you're trying to appeal to with the residual sugar shit, why? I mean, Rodney Strong sells a ton of stuff. I mean, they sell a ton of wine. And they're not appealing to it. Not really appealing either. But still, I mean, they're not trying to appeal to that. Louis Martini, how many damn cases do they sell a year? They don't obviously do that.
But wait. We shouldn't even use them in the same breath as this.
It's the same price.
It's the same price.
It's a dollar.
They're making really good wine at this price point.
Yes.
Really good wine. Shit that we'll put away and hold for a couple years.
Josh makes a ton of money. And they're not, creme de la creme, but they don't do residual sugar.
They deserve every dollar they make compared to this shit.
Well, yeah, it's at least well structured.
This is terrible.
If you were paying $7 and I don't think that they could do the oak for $7, but you would stumble and say, okay, well, that's what you get at that price point. You get something that's just disjointed. You can't have it all, for instance. But you can have more at this price range. You can do better than that at this price range.
You should do better than this at this price range.
But like I said,
we have talked about
that. I've had it within the last 3 years, and it was not like this.
It wasn't this bad. But we've talked about it. It was bad in a different way. Entry level, where you're going to expect a good cab. And we have said $20. But yet, we found some in this price range that are not just passable, but good.
Yeah.
And this is not good, and it's certainly not passable.
It's not cheap.
This is disgustingly bad. Disgustingly bad.
Yeah. I mean...
It's got two characteristics.
Let me just say that
one is in place to hide the other.
Well, that is all very true. This, however, let me say this. Wouldn't be as bad as if A, it didn't cost $16, B, it wasn't from a winery that we know knows better.
And we know makes good wine.
We know 19 Crimes makes they basically are war criminals. We know Fry Brothers, they're a bunch of clowns. Probably war criminals too, but more, well, they're not bright enough to be war criminals.
No, you don't need brilliance to be war criminals, you just need to follow instructions.
I don't think they follow any instructions.
Wow.
Put the grapes in the vat. Ah! I put it on my head. Isn't that funny? Ah! That's what they're doing. Honk, honk. I mean, how the hell do you put wine in the vat and you big old fucking shoes flopping around? They have whipped cream pie fights.
That's a new twist on a horror film involving a clown.
Yeah. Oh, my
God. The Night of the Bad Zinfandel.
It's like, I would get to making the wine, but my partner keeps putting my fucking whoopee cushions on every fucking seat I sit on. The son of a bitch. He's so funny. What were we here for again? Oh, shit. Oh, wine.
Go to the wine tour. You take your little kid and they rip his arm off.
Funny-like, though.
Funny-like.
They think it's hilarious.
Well, so did the clown in the head.
Yeah, I know. They're like, oh, this is funny. Yay. They're not quite like, they're not edgy like that, though. They're more like Bozo the Clown.
Oh.
Yeah. Come on, Sonny. Fritz the Night. Try to throw the ping pong ball in the bucket. You know, that kind of thing.
There's a little creepy tone to what you just said.
Well, there's creepy thing to their wine as well. Yeah, folks, we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back and
review this show.
Yes. Here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, it's time to put the number to 2014 J-Lore, Seven Oaks, Paso Robles, Cabernet, Sauvignon. Fuck. And there's, folks, I have not drank a half a glass. The decanter's completely full. In fact, we haven't drank it all tonight. We've had 2 episodes, and we haven't drank a damn drop. Kind of defeats the purpose of doing this, but still, maybe we'll drink some beer after this.
Or turpentine would be more enjoyable.
I know.
Is there any of that port left? I don't know.
There's a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be probably. We're trying to take the port glass home with drink. Me.
So, Scott.
There's only 2 things to say about this wine.
You hate
really,
it?
Really, really bad fruit that they try to mask with too much oak. And there's no other comment you could make. There's no body to this.
Well, there's body. It's just not.
It's not a full body. It's not even appropriately a medium body.
Who gives a shit if it does have full body? The body is not the issue.
It's just really bad fruit on a incredibly fruit forward. Residual sugar base. Yeah. The backbone of this is residual sugar.
Yeah.
What a shit wine. I'm not going to give this a number that starts with an 8. I'm going 79. I would not drink this again. The baseline for me on would I drink it again is 80. I'm not going there. 79. Not going there.
So now it's on to me, folks. I really don't like this wine. I'm trying, though, not to let my views be jaded by the fact that I think that they should know fucking better. But it's hard.
Because they should fucking know better.
It's hard. That being said, I think every version of this style of wine should be beaten down. There's a place for these wines, and it's called Barefoot. It's called Cheap Shit. It's called Crane Lake. It's called Two Buck Chuck. It's those wines. If you want to categorize those wines and make them this way, rock on, because A, no one's paying very much money for them, and I don't have to fucking drink them. I'm not going to drink them by accident.
But you know what? I've never had a Two Buck Chuck this bad. Never.
What?
They might not be particularly good. Mm-hmm. They might be 83, 82, but never this bad. I've never had an unpalatable Two Buck Chuck.
But this should not never. Be in the mainstream at $16 this style. This style is not... This is not appropriate, proper winemaking. And they know better. Because I know that they make great wine. Not good, great wine. They have a wine in the fucking Hall of Fame.
That we love.
I'm going to give this 77.
You're so generous.
I am being generous.
You really like the Alamos better than this.
Yeah, I did. Partly because I don't know why. Partly because the Alamos is just shitty. But it's not shitty in the fact that it can't do any better than what it is. The flavor, I would drink the Alamos before I would drink this. I really cannot tolerate this style of wine. I don't like it in any facet.
Well,
I just can't even drink it. I mean, we have a whole damn bottle we haven't drank. We haven't drank anything of this.
Nope, just go straight in the trash.
We drank more of the Alamos.
The Alamos, you could at least throw some fruit in there and make sangria. I wouldn't serve this to my worst enemy.
I can see where they're trying to go with this, but it's a failure. You can't make something into something it's not. And they just missed the mark. They manipulated it to try to make it more elegant, to try to make it more upscale. Oh,
talking about the oaky?
You can't then pair that with residual sugar sweetness and think that it's all going to pan out. It's not.
What's shameful on this is that the backbone of this wine is this fruity, flabby, residual sugar mess. And it doesn't matter what you do to it after that. You're going to throw a $17 price tag on that shit?
No. Where's the tannin? Where's the tannin? There's no tannin.
We make better wines than this in Ohio. And I hate Ohio wines. I've had
better wines than this from Ohio. Yes, that is factually accurate. Chambord. It's really smoky.
And
I have had better wines than this in North Carolina. I've had better wines than this. Not necessarily Cabernet, but I've had better wines than this in Virginia.
I could go to just up the street in Clintonville and buy wine in a can, in a kit.
Oh, that you make?
And make it from a can.
Well, it's going to be better wine. It might be light and insipid, but it'd be more drinkable. This is the thing. Just because there's, Apothic Red, and there's Cashmere this, or there's those wines that exist out there that sell, that sell a bunch of wine. It doesn't mean, J-Lore, you need to do that too. You don't need to have that, because that's what those wines are. Menage a trois, that kind of shit.
Menage a trois is 10 times better than this. That shit is 10 times better than this.
But we have the magistrate in the wine vault, which is down that line.
I can take that wine in a kit and ferment the shit out of it so it doesn't have residual sugar.
Yeah.
And no matter what I came out with, it'd be better than this.
They can avoid... That's the thing. They could easily avoid just that.
Ferment your wine properly.
You know what? As opposed to 13.5, 14. And guess what? Sugar converts to alcohol.
And then maybe some tannins might develop. Ah!
Well, maybe not in the part of Paso where they're growing this shit.
Maybe not. Yeah. But did have some tannins. There's no tannins here.
Well, certainly it wasn't a cold year. Because then it would be lean. It's not a cold. It's not a lean grape.
Did we have a Paso Cab? I don't think we did we?
Where? When?
We had the Turley Paso Cab.
Turley doesn't make a Paso Cab.
What is their cab?
Napa.
It's Napa.
Yeah. No. We've had J-Lore.
This is the only Paso Cab we've had then.
Well, we've had Justin. It's a Paso Cab. Josh, I think it's California, but it's Paso. And then we've also had, well, you haven't had it, but the J-Lore Hilltop on the show, but you've had that in real life. That's Paso. We've had plenty of Paso, and I think Paso makes... We've had Trejana. Remember Trejana?
I had that at dinner Friday night at the top.
Trejana?
I did.
It's Paso. I mean, there's lots of good Paso cabs that exist out there. This ain't one of them, though, because they chose it not to be. So... 77, 79, and Wall
of shame. Simply because they know better.
They do know better.
They know better.
Boy, we've had a dandy night, haven't we?
Psh.
God.
Damn it.
Bad night, folks. But we have these occasionally. We move on.
We enjoyed it, though.
We did. So, folks.
At least the Alamos was interesting in that there were some different things to analyze and talk about.
But you could tolerate it. to analyze.
Speak for yourself.
Well, yeah. You really hit it. But you can't tolerate this long pathetic. Enough to drink it.
This is terrible.
And also, one thing, other folks, I'm not allergic to sulfite, except when the wine is fucked up. We didn't
talk about that at all.
And when the wine is fucked up, when was the last time I had this issue? It hasn't been that long ago.
No, it hasn't been. So what happens, Rob is like the litmus paper for sulfites. His face gets instantly red. And not just because we're in Central Ohio and, you know, Buckeye fan, that whole shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, his face immediately goes red.
It was Fry Brothers, the clown
wine. It was the clown wine.
Yeah, I gave that a 79, by the way. Yeah, it's it was the clown wine.
And the clown wine was better than this.
Marginally. But okay. My face gets hot, and my face turns red, my ears turn red. When you have a wine, it's fucked up. This is happening with this wine.
It's the sulfites.
Yeah, too. The sulfites are off. The whole thing is just whacked out of its skull. So
what? But I guess if you leave that much residual sugar behind, you have to add sulfites to stabilize so it doesn't re-ferment, maybe?
You know better than I would, yeah. That gets into winemaking, but...
But, yeah. I mean, they're pretty good production on this, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases?
Yeah.
Good luck selling it.
Yeah, folks, avoid this like the plague. I don't care what price they're selling at. Okay. Whenever you have
not
this...
Not on Post Off.
No.
Not on Post Off.
I don't know that I've ever seen it on Post Off.
Which is surprising because I would expect this would be like not flying... The opposite of flying off the shelves.
And folks, also,
know bad wine from good wine, in which case they'd be throwing this bad wine off their shelves.
A lot of cleanup. I would actually avoid this.
Charlie, clean up on 7.
In all the vintages. I wouldn't buy this period, whether it be 15, 16, 17, because I think stylistically that's what they're going for.
Ever.
Yeah, never buy this, folks. It's a wine to mark off. Now, Hilltop, buy. This, never, ever, 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 ever purchase it. Not once. I would
be more likely to buy a different vintage of the Meiomi.
Me too. This. Me too.
Just because... The 15 was good.
14 was good.
Excuse me.
15 was bad.
15 was bad. But the, you know, once upon a time, they at least made it, and it wasn't a sugary mess.
Yeah. But yeah, I would never trust this particular wine ever. Ever. So, with that, folks, you got a 77, 79 wall of shame. Disgusting. Avoid, never buy. And so for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
I got nothing.
I know. We will bid you adieu and see you next time, assuming that I live on the Wine Vault.